Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, December 20th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning, Christmas week. Hope everybody's having a great holiday week, month, whatever you want to call it. Really, a couple months. You go back all the way on Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then, you know, those that celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, all that. Just hope everyone's enjoying time with the family. I know kids are all out of school. Chris and I were just talking about off air. My kids are out of school. It is chaos, plus Christmas, plus hiding gifts, plus buying gifts, plus shopping, all that. It's just insanity. So be safe out there on the roads, and be safe at your house if you got as many kids as I have. Christ. But excited to talk today. Not a ton of college football talk, not a little bit of NFL talk, but we're going to do something a little different, something that I've been talking about doing for a while. I want to talk about how you call plays. Not just how you like the philosophy or your kind of your attack plan, but I want to actually call some plays from our 2014 Michigan State game and explain what everything means. So if you are a football junkie, get ready, because this should be a really, really interesting one for you. I'm excited about it. So excited about that. And then also, you know, if you enjoy it, go tell a friend. Sometimes when I do these shows, people are like, wow, that was awesome. Like, I learned so much. So make sure you share with other people. And we still have our Friday mailbag going. So if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and drop a question, we will pick, you know, 4 or 5 of those and answer them on Friday. Maybe this little play call thing will inspire some questions.
Heck yeah.
So looking forward to that. Also, if you want a custom RSS feed, we did our spaces on Friday and obviously put that out as the main show. So if you listen to that, that is on our Patreon every week. So when we record spaces, I put it on our Patreon because you have a custom RSS feed, patreon.com/menacetosports, only $5. So get it while it's hot. What else? Oh, I got another one for you. Our sponsor, MyBookie, use promo code Menace and you get free deposit match up to $250, I think. So put that in. I got absolutely killed yesterday. My problem is I didn't follow our handicapper's advice. I just went rogue and I got slammed. But I got a possible parlay for you on MyBookie. Ready? I'm taking Justin Fields and the Bears at home over the Vikings.
Yeah.
6.5-point dogs. I'm taking the money line. Dog alert. I'm taking the Bears over to Vikings. The Vikings are 2-5 on the road. I think Justin Fields pulls out this win. This is just a game where I think that the underdog is going to win. No other reason other than the Vikings aren't a great team. They're on the road. They're playing Justin Fields and the Bears. So I think the Bears win, and I'm possibly going to go to my bookie and parlay it with the Browns at home, but I'm waiting on COVID. I'm either going to play the Bears money line or that parlay. I'm waiting to hear the final COVID body count. I want to know how many bodies COVID caught in Cleveland. So we'll wait to see that today. But either way, I'm riding the Bears. So if you want to play with me, go to my bookie, promo code Menace, get a free deposit match, and let's go, Justin. Let's go, Justin. anyways, Chris, what's good? What's going on?
Man, not much. Just want to shout out the handicapping team, dog. Menace to Picks has only had 3 losing days the entire month.
That's nuts. And
that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable in gambling. So shout out to them. Man, I'm just chilling, man. You know, my siblings are home from school. My mom graduated from Penn State over the weekend. So it was my first time being on campus. I'm getting to walk around a little bit, but just hanging in there and trying to be a football junkie like you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, you want to know what killed me yesterday is my guy, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. First time he had a streak of 255 games that he had not been shut out. 255. The record was Drew Brees went 304 games without being shut out. Well, that son of a bitch went right back to zero last night as the Saints with Taysom Hill win the game. You know, I mean, just offensive explosion, 9-0.
A boat race.
Awful game.
Gee whiz. It looked like neither team had mastered the Ford pass. But we saw, you know, we see this every now and again from Tom Brady. And then there's always like a Twitter reaction afterwards. He had a couple meltdowns, Zach. He was frustrated, the broken tablet, the throwing tablet, the yelling, the screaming. And it's funny, I think one of the football pages on Twitter said that Tom Brady's a good winner, but a bad loser. It's like, well, what's a good loser?
Oh, there's no doubt. I hate when there's twofold here, right? Like if that was Odell Beckham Jr. that threw a tablet like that, it'd be huge news. They'd be talking about how his energy sucks, he's cancerous, all this other stuff. But it is Tom Brady. And so it leads me to two thoughts, really. First is that, right? No one's going to make a big deal out of it, but they would if it was like Odell.
Yeah.
The other side of that is, that's life, right? You earn your reputation. Right. Like Tom Brady has done what he's done. He doesn't lose a lot. When he does, he usually loses gracefully. That was obviously an unbelievably frustrating game. I'm not making excuses for him, but you kind of earn the right to be a little bitch in that situation, right? Where Odell's a little bitch if he doesn't get the ball and they win. So it's a little different, but at the same time, it's not excusing that petulant nonsense on the sideline, right? Because I always tell my players when they would get like that, like, what are you gaining from this? Whatever it is. Like when you threw that iPad and broke it or whatever happened, the tablet, I think it's a Surface actually.
Yeah.
When you do that, like what did you gain from that? Do you feel better? Did it make you feel better? Because if it made you feel better, okay, then maybe it's okay, right? But it certainly didn't make you feel better. It didn't do anything, but you know what? It actually probably did. One, it set a bad example for those watching at home, right? Kids, whoever else, people that look up to you. Two, that negativity and that frustration just became more infectious and exponentially worse on the sideline. So like, what did throwing the iPad do, Tom? The answer is nothing positive, only negative. Right? You impacted people watching. Now it's a headline. Now we're talking about it. Right? And on that sideline, people felt your frustration and they got more frustrated. So you actually, by throwing it, made things more frustrating. It's just counterproductive and stupid.
It's like if you know, I understand good loser, bad loser, like this and that. But as the leader of your franchise and your, who you hang your hat on and your GOAT is on the sideline frustrated, like he cannot figure it out. Zach, what are the odds that anybody else on that team feels like they can figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, if Tom Brady's that frustrated where he doesn't have an answer, he throws an iPad, it's over. Like
game over. You lost.
Yeah, I mean, you think like the left tackle or the center is going to feel good about what's going on if the GOAT is acting like that? Absolutely not.
Yeah, if another player is frustrated, then Tom Brady goes to them like, hey, we're good, we're going to figure this out. But who goes to Tom Brady when Tom's frustrated? No one. It's over. You lost Tyson Hill. Like, good game. Yeah,
there's no doubt.
So that's that. I don't really knock him for being a bad loser because with all the good that comes with having Tom Brady in your team, I will take that, every four or five losses. I'm absolutely okay with that. But on the other side of it, it doesn't look good. And if it was any receiver, oh brother, if it was, if it was anybody, if Urban Meyer did something really close to that, throw him in jail. So just thought it was interesting kind of looking around for that. I do want to say Bo Nix to Oregon. Did you see this coming?
I didn't see it coming, but who knows where he's going to go. I think Dan Lanning going to Oregon was probably a huge part of that. And it tells you something, right? About his opinion of Bo Nix. If he thinks Bo Nix can be an answer, I think everyone knows my opinion of Bo Nix. Like I saw you even mentioned it. Like you can bet on them not to win the Pac-12 now. But I mean, when Dan Lanning comes from Georgia, right, and grabs Bo Nix, it makes me believe that he thinks that this was an Auburn problem, not a Bo Nix problem. It was an Auburn quarterback coach, Auburn QB development problem, and that he can take this kid and develop him for an offseason and make him into a championship caliber quarterback. That's what it tells me. I always look at like motivation behind it, right? Or the other thing it tells me is they just don't have a quarterback worth a shit on roster. And regardless, Bo Nix is an upgrade, right? Those are the two things that it tells me.
and they're really going to struggle getting the quarterbacks they want from kind of here on out. Like with Lincoln Riley out there, they're going to, I mean, it's going to be second choice quarterbacks from the West out there for sure. So maybe this is the new route for Oregon. I mean, some teams are going to have to, you know, rely on other people kind of developing quarterbacks or getting older quarterbacks and going to get them. But it brought me to an interesting question because it's funny because the transfer quarterback market right now, at least to me, in my eyes, looks primarily like damaged goods looking for a second home. I mean, right now you have Spencer Rattler was, you know, that's going to be the headline of the transfer names. Bo Nix, Quinn Ewers, and Dylan Gabriel going from UCF to UCLA. And I think he's might have the most success immediately out of those four. But it's interesting because like who do you bet on out of those transfer quarterbacks to be the best one in the upcoming season? Because you almost have to bet on coaching staff. You got to bet on circumstances. You do.
So, we're talking about this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. I would probably say Spencer Rattler, and for no real reason. I mean, I think he's the best of the four mm-hmm. Right now. That's why it's an easy choice. But I think long term, both for the school and the kid, I think Quinn Ewers' transfer will have the most impactful, or whatever. He'll have the most impact at Texas at any school of those four, because one, he's going with Sark, who's the best QB developer of the four schools that are getting those quarterbacks, right?
Right.
And he has the highest ceiling. He's the most talented. I mean, you can make an argument that Spencer Rattler's in his realm, but Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel are not even in the conversation as far as talent, arm mm-hmm. talent and ceiling. But definitely Quinn, I think it is the long-term option. If you had those four quarterbacks in the portal and you got to pick one, you would pick Quinn Ewers for your Absolutely. Program.
Absolutely. I mean, that's 100% the case. I do think it's interesting, though, Dylan Gabriel going to UCLA with Chip Kelly. I mean, he's going to play in a really fun offense, and he's going to put up some numbers. And I mean, he's a really good quarterback. But for the long term, in terms of, like, not all talent is traded equally. And obviously, Quinn Ewers has the most talent, like, on that list. And then second would be Spencer Rattler. But I am curious to see what Bo Nix does. But like you said, I mean, it is funny because it wasn't his opening game he beat Oregon playing for Auburn. Like that's what he did. So now he's you know going back over there and getting his own chance. But I think Bo Nix could out of those four might be the worst, to be honest. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I'm sure Bo Nix the kid is a good kid. But just among those four, it's just weird. And they all kind of feel like damaged goods a little bit, with exception maybe Quinn Ewers. The rest of them just, you know, like that toy that got returned. It's like, this toy is not as good as I thought, or it's missing a battery, or it's missing a pinky or whatever. Just, and I think that's kind of what the transfer market is. Like, can you take, you know, so a girl has been in a bad relationship and, you know, the next boy that gets her, you know, can he withstand and help her get through her trauma so she can be, you know, in a healthy relationship is what this transfer portal quarterback situation is going to be like. Because all of them are going to be, all of them are going to claim the coaching staff did them dirty. Is kind of what's going to be the thing. And so they're going to have to process that and go through that. Zach, I want to get to play calls, man, because this is kind of where my football junkie, I fell in love with football. I'm all in. Yeah. And me and you have talked, and I've had the honor of having a lot of, off-air conversations with you about football things. But, dog, call some plays, man. What do you got?
All right, so I want to talk let's start with this. I will tell you, kind of explain the system that we built when I got to Ohio State. We took, I guess, Dan Mullen and Urban Meyer's offense is what it was, right? And then Tom Herman and I came in 2012 and obviously took that offense. We tried to we tried to go no huddle with it, right? Urban never did no huddle ever in his career. So the offense was not built for no huddle, right? It was too mm-hmm. verbose, too many words that didn't make sense. It wasn't very systematic. It actually was really poor for teaching purposes to receivers, quarterbacks, really all positions. Other than O-line, it's an O-line friendly offense, right? Everything that is called for the O-line. Like when you say something, it's telling the O-line what to do. Everyone else has to fit off of that, like in protection and run game and everything. So the first thing that we switched, and this was actually my baby, was the formation system, right? You have a formation, you have words that tell guys where to line up, right? Like, and so very basically, we started with D words were 2x2 formations, right? So okay. Duo, deuce, doubles, like all those D words were 2x2. And that told the H receiver where to go. So backtracking a little bit, we always called the strength to the tight end. So if it was whatever, if it was Drew Wright, all you knew for sure that Wright told you the tight end was on the right, the Y.
Okay.
Right. So that's the first part. Everything else kind of is systematic. So if it is the X receiver, what Michael Thomas played, he always, almost always, not always, almost like 99% of the time goes away from the strength, right? He's opposite the tight end. So it would be duo right would mean the X is on the left. That's first and foremost. Almost always, I'd say 90% of the time, the Z receiver went to the strength, right? That's the receiver who's usually off the ball. Not always, but the Z receiver had to deal with the tight end a lot. 90% of the time, they're on the same side. So they have to know, is the tight end on, tight end off, to get on or off, right?
Yeah, so they're not in an illegal formation.
Yeah, so that's generic, right? Any formation, right or left. So if I call anything right, the X goes left. Anything right, the Z goes right, right? And there's always an anomaly here or there. But as long as you learn that systematically, those two positions can get lined up. Now, our H receiver, A receiver, whatever you want to call them, we used an H for motions, and you'll hear why in a minute. The H receiver had to know, was it a D word or a T word, right? Because a D word was 2x2. So if I called duo right, Chris, who's on the right?
So that'd be the tight end.
The tight end, and who goes with the tight end?
And the Z receiver.
Right. So the X receiver's opposite, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm the H receiver and it's a D word, in order for it to be 2x2, I have to go to which side?
The side with the solar receiver. So
yes.
The
X so receiver. Now you go away from the call, right? Because right. The H is the one that makes it a 2x2 or a 3x1, right? So if I call trio right, now the H knows he has to go to the right to make it a 3x1 formation, right? That's just generically based to start, right?
Yeah, got it.
From there, we had different D words and T words to tell you where the tight end and H went. You know, we had ways to switch it. So duo and trio were our first starting points, right? And because it ends in an O, that means it's open, an open set. So that tight end is flexed out, right? So duo right means the tight end is a slot receiver to the right. He's not lined up at tight end. He's lined up at receiver because it's an O, open, right?
Yeah,
open. Trio right meant it was 3x1. The tight end was flexed out, not a tight end. He's more of a receiver, right? That's starting point. So that's like kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
All right. From there,
yeah, you're right. This definitely isn't suited for a hurry up offense.
Well, this is very basic. This is a hurry up offense right now.
Okay, got it.
But, I mean, I just taught you where to line up if you were in those four positions in what, about 3 minutes?
Yeah. You're right.
That's once you quick. Do that about 20 times, you're mm-hmm. good. You know where to go. So then we went to we want to attach the tight end. Then we went to Trey Wright. Trey Wright now puts the tight end attached. Deuce Wright puts the tight end attached in a 2x2, right? Trey and Deuce, kind of slang words for 3 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. Trey, Deuce. So there's a systematic approach there to that, right? So Trey and Deuce attached him. If the tight end was attached, he has to be on the ball. Now the Z knows I have to be off the ball, right? Mm-hmm. In order to have a legal formation. And then we really get into it. So from there, right, that's telling those four guys where to line up. Now the tailback needs to know where to line up, right? The running back. Almost always, that is by play, right? Where we'll get into a play call. Ready? So stack Deuce left, M861 go. All right, so let's break that down, right? Stack Deuce left. Stack tells the tailback to line up stack behind the quarterback.
Got right.
So now the tailback knows where to line up. We told him on this play. We don't always, mm-hmm. and we'll get to an example of when we don't. Stack Deuce left. So now the tight end's on the left on the line. Z's to the left. D word. H is to the right. X is to the right. The tailback is stacked. Then we say M861 go. The M tells the tail. We always gave a letter before the protection to tell the tailback his route. You talk about the dumbest fucking player on the planet, even if they're brilliant, that you could be an idiot and play tailback. Tom Herman and I used to always give Stan Drayton and Tony Alford shit. It's like, what the fuck do you guys meet about? Like, we tell you what to do on every play, right? Stack, we're telling you to line up and stack. M, we're telling you to run an M route, which is a middle of the field route, right? I think it's 4 yards middle of the field. And then 861 go. So 61 is a pass protection. And remember, I told you, we always talk to the offensive line. This is kind of contrary to that, but we always, so odd and even, right? Odd is left, even is right, right? in anything. So if we call run play with an odd number, that means the line is blocking left. We call an even play in the run game, the line is blocking right. Different numbers are different types of plays, right? Well, 61, 51, 71, those numbers are pass protections, right? Okay. So 61 protection tells you the left side is the lock side of the line of the protection. What that means is the guard and tackle on the left side are locked on the defensive linemen on their side, right? They're locked on. Like if there's a defensive end, the left tackle's blocking that defensive end no matter what, right? It tells the opposite side of the line they are the slide side, meaning they are sliding to the A gap, B gap, C gap, right? They're sliding to their right. They have the gap to their right. And whatever happens over there, they have to sort that out. If people twist, if people blitz, they block 1, 2, 3, right? Out, inside out. Simple as that. That would tell the running back, because it's 61, Chris, if the left side is locked on the defensive lineman, what do you think happens if a linebacker on the left side blitzes?
That's got to get picked up by the running back.
The running back now knows it's 61. I have to block to the left because those guys are locked on the D lineman. If a linebacker blitzes, I have to pick him up, right? So that's what 61 means. 861, that 8 tag means it's run action, right? Play action 61. So now stack, where is it? Stack deuce left, M861 go. So the tailback knows I'm in stack, right? I'm going to the left. Because it's an 861, I'm going to do a run fake, and then I pick up a blitzer if he comes, or release and get to my M route in the middle of the field. Right?
Right. Now, got it.
One thing to note, we had a rule for running backs for from now to the end of time. It was called FTF, fuck the fake. If they pre-snap or as the ball's being snapped, see a blitz coming on the left side, they are to fuck the fake. There's no more fake. You don't need a run fake. They're blitzing. You're not trying to get anybody to bite. Right? They fuck the fake and go right now to block a blitzer. All right? And then go was the pass concept. It was four verticals. We had a number of different rules for that, spacing, things like that. That's where the actual teaching is to the receivers and quarterback. Everyone else just gets told what the fuck to do. Coming from a receiver coach, it's easy to say, right? So stack deuce left, M861 go. That's probably one of the most, basic play calls in the offense, right? Mm-hmm. We'll get to a little more.
Yeah, where have we seen that in success? Like, do you have like a specific game?
Jeff Heuermann caught a touchdown against Michigan on that exact play call. That's a good question. I can't think of any other ones. But yeah, we weren't a huge four vertical team, but we did run it every now and then, specifically play action with a tight end attached, because we were such a tight end run game heavy offense. That play was a solid play for us, a hard run fake, get the tight end up the seam. If it was man to man, you could take a shot on a go route on the outside, is basically what it was. So let's get to another play call. Deuce left, rip, Zin, flash, 861, Z spread. All right, so we start at the generic, right? Deuce left.
Yeah.
We know the formation, right?
Correct.
Rip, we're telling the tight end or the running back where to line up again, right? Rip is right. Right? Because if we didn't say anything, right? If you didn't catch the play call, it was flash 861, right? 861 tells the running back he's blocking which side?
86. So that's the left side?
Yeah, odd number, left side. Yeah, so if we said nothing, he would just line up on the left, run fake, and block to the left. Well, because we wanted to get their linebackers aligned where we wanted them aligned, we tell him rip to line up on the right, and still block 861. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so he's still going across.
Yes. So now we got the running back on the right, but he's blocking to the left, right? It looks like maybe an inside zone or whatever. So deuce left, rip. Zin is Z-in. Z-in motion, right?
Okay.
Deuce left, Zin. Deuce left, rip, Zin. Flash. Flash is a fake telling the running back to, instead of downhill run action, right, we want him to flash across the ball like a sweep play action,
like,
right?
Like a sweep motion.
So now he's going to sweep play action. If nobody comes, he continues on that sweep, right? And just runs a swing route. Just like he got a handoff on a sweep, right? If somebody comes, he has to FTF and block him.
Yeah.
So deuce left, rip, Zin, flash, 861. Again, 61 protection, 8 means run action. Z spread. Z spread was the play call, right? Z spread was just a horizontal read, kind of spread the field. Basically, the quarterback reads right to left, and goes across the field. I'm not going to get into how they read the play, but I wanted to just kind of get something with a little more
juice on it.
A little more juice on it. All right, and let's get to a run play. Let's find me a run play.
Got you. I was like, I feel like I could see Jalen Marshall and Zeke in the backfield again, kind of as that play unfolds.
No doubt. Oh, here's one the Buckeye Nation will know. Trey Wright up, 28 lead Q. So now this play, Trey Wright up. So Trey Wright tells you it's a 3-by-1 tight end on the ball. When we say up, that means the tight end is up off the ball, right? He backs up. Mm-hmm. And now the Z has to get on the ball. So now it's that wing tight end formation. Trey Wright up. Where'd it go? Trey Wright up, 28 lead Q. All that means 28 evens to the right, right? 8 is outside, like 2 is inside, 4, 6, 8 is outside. Lead Q. It's quarterback lead, right? We ran that with JT probably 8 billion times. And Buckeye fans threw their popcorn on the field. So 28 lead Q, telling you the Q is the one mm-hmm. running the ball, right? Also to note, like some of these are – like where things are put in the formation or in the play call, I'm sorry, are by design, right? With learning specialists, we learn like what is hard about this verbiage. Like we would give learning specialists our play calls and it teach them the offense like I am right now to you. And they would go through and be like, well, this is kind of confusing. Why don't you put like the cue, put that at the very end, right? So the quarterback is processing all this information. And the last thing he gets is cue. Saying, all right, everything we just said is going on. And by the way, you're running the ball.
Right. Just so right? you know, like hang on to that you. Like right. if things go left, so you know you're just going to run.
Before we really got learning specialists involved, that play call used to be Trey Wright up, 28 Q lead. Right. And the learning specialist point was you said 28 Q lead. The Q gets lost in the sauce kind of, right? Mm-hmm. Because 28 lead is a play call. It's a handoff to the outside, right? And the quarterback might not have caught that cue because it's smashed in between two things. So the learning specialist said, put the cue at the end. And that way it's the last thing the quarterback hears, reads, knows is that last word, right? That's what a couple play calls.
That's Michigan one, State. Right? That's it. Okay.
So this was a touchdown. Hayes stack deuce right up. Yo, yo, 8-12 lock H go.
And right, got some new verbiage in there.
Yeah, so this was Devin Smith at H. Is the personnel group was 11 DS at H. So Hayes stack deuce right up. Yo yo, I'm sorry, Devin is at Z. Hayes stack deuce right up. Yo yo, 8-12 lock H go. So Hayes, what do you think Hayes means, Chris?
Hayes, isn't that for the H back?
H and Z. Hayes. Yep. The H and Z switch positions on this play.
Okay, got it.
So Hayes stack tells what?
You're stacking.
The running back is stacked behind the quarterback. Right
behind the running back. It's Hayes like a pistol. Stacked. It's like the pistol formation. Is that what
yep.
that?
Yep. It's pistol. Hayes stacked deuce right up. Again, deuce right. Tight ends on the right. Z's on the right. H and X are on the left. But now the H and Z have switched. So the H is actually to the boundary with the tight end. This is actually FSL. Okay. So he's to the field. The Z is in the slot, right? Mm-hmm. To the boundary. And the X is to the left, right? Up tells the tight end he's off the ball. So now the H right. that is actually the Z is on the ball, right? Yo-yo tells the tight end to motion across and come back like a yo-yo, right?
You send a
yo-yo down, it comes right back.
A million times. Yep, get up.
Hey, stack deuce right up. Yo-yo, 8-12, right? The 8 tells
now,
you
what's that yo-yo for? Well, why do you yo-yo in there?
Well, it moves the linebackers, right?
Okay, yeah, just an identifier.
Anytime, like that, where the tight end is the most critical position on the field to a defense, right? Because the tight end almost always takes you to the play. So there'll be checks if the tight end's to you, if the tight end's away. Defenses will have checks based on where the back is in the tight end, right? If the back's on the left, tight end's on the right, here's the plays they run. If the back's on the left, tight end's on the left, here's the plays they run. So anytime you move a guy and make them think on the run, a lot of that stuff kind of goes out the window. It's like, yeah, okay. If you line up and give them 10 seconds to kind of digest, digest what could be coming, then they're better suited to attack you, right? If you move them, now they're like, oh shit, no, this, oh, up snapped, and you can't figure that out, right? So yo-yo really fucks them up because you start on the left, they're thinking a set of plays, you move to the right, they switch them, then you move back to the left, and it's like, oh shit, well, back to the original set.
But then you snap it before they can.
Yeah, it's all to create confusion and to get them moving, right? All right. So yo-yo, 8-12. 8 is run action, play action pass, right? 12 is a run play. So the line is actually going to block like it is 12, but because we tagged 8, they know it's a pass pro. So they sell 12, but they don't go downfield, right? It's because it's not a run play. 8-12 lock. We're locked hitches on the outside. H go is a go in the slot. In this scenario, because we did Hayes, Devin Smith is in the slot in the boundary and runs a go route. If you remember the Michigan State game, that was Devin Smith's long touchdown where they tried to roll to one high. He blew by the man player and the post safety and caught a touchdown pass and then flexed on the crowd, right?
Deep speed.
Sheesh. Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. So that's a pass play. Let's get to a third down pass play. So those are all run action pass plays, right? Here's a simple one. Ready? Duo left A351 Steeler Tiger, right? So now we're in our half field concepts, right?
So, duo left. So that tight end's lining up like a slot receiver in this one.
Yeah. So O, duo, it's open, duo. Right? Mm-hmm. So the tight end's left, open, flexed out. The Z is with the tight end. Because it's a D word, the H is opposite, right? So duo left, the H is on the right. The X is obviously on the right. Now 351, right? A was the running back's route, which is an arrow route, right?
Okay.
351. So now remember we talked about 61. Right was the lock side was on the left. The line slid to the right, and the tailback picked up whoever
on the left. Yeah.
Because it was 60. That six meant it was a six man pass pro, meaning the running back's involved. Right, five O linemen. The sixth guy is the running back. Right, 351. Now 551 tells us it's just the O line blocking. The tailback has no protection responsibility. Right, if somebody was to blitz on the left, Chris, you have no one to block them. Right? Because the line is sliding right. They're locked on the left. If someone blitzes, now you have to throw hot, right? The quarterback has to get the ball out of his hands to a receiver before the blitz gets home, right? Beat the free heat with your feet was the coaching term, right? Yeah. You got to use your feet, speed it up, and get the ball out, right? So A is an arrow. And now as a receiver, I have to know Steeler is one concept. It's a little spot route with a corner and a flat or a swing. And then what I say, Tiger? Mm-hmm. Tiger was a two-man slant or hitch, right? Conversion. It was a hitch if it was one high zone, slant for anything else, too high or man-to-man or anything, right? So to know which side has what, the protection plays in, right? 351, is it odd or even?
It's odd.
So odd. So the left side, right? We called odd. So left, we're thinking left side. So the left side has the first concept. Right?
Okay.
Duo left, A351, Steeler, Tiger. So now the left side, the Y, Z, and tailback have Steeler. That means that the second concept is backside away from that 351, and it is Tiger. So the X and H have Tiger. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
So let's get to this now. Now we go to another third down call. Tap right, Liz, 060, bench divot. All right. So tap was our way to be in trio, but switch the H and Y.
Okay.
Tap. Right. So trio, instead of the Y being the innermost receiver like he is in trio, tap put the H receiver at number three. All right. And I'll tell you why we did that in a second. So tap right, Liz. Who does Liz talk to?
Liz. I have no clue who Liz is talking to.
It always talks to the running back, Chris. Remember the
idiots? Oh, yeah. Left side. Left side is where they're.
So the running back lines up left.
On the left, yeah.
Because the protection is 060, right? That is an even number. So if we didn't say Liz, he would line up on the right.
Yeah, and that's right? A six-man protection, so he's involved in
he is. And the reason why he needed to be lined up on the left is because it's a 3-by-1. It was a triangle read. Triangle reads are as old as the hills, right? They've been running triangle reads since they started throwing the ball. A triangle read is exactly what it sounds like. There's a guy on the left that's short, a guy on the right that's short, and a right in between the two of them, right? It just makes a triangle. So you start to the right, and you read the right point of the triangle. If he's covered, you go to the deeper middle point. If he's covered, you come back to the left shorter point and check it down, right? It's just 1, 2, 3. Simple as that. And it's a little more complicated, but we'll keep it simple. So because it's 3-by-1 to the right, we need the running back. The X is going to be that top point of the triangle. He's going to run a little dig to get to that middle top point, right? The tight end's going to run a little pivot route to create the right point, but we need the running back to be the left point, right? But because Michigan State a lot of times like to do what's called blitz the back, right? Teams know this, right? when you line the backup on one side, a lot of times that's going to be your lock side where they can get a blitzer on a running back. That's what they want, right? They don't want the blitzer getting blocked by a guard. They want the linebacker to get a free rush on a running back who's typically not as good in pass pro. So we'd say Liz 060 so that hopefully they blitz the back and we're already sliding the line that way. And now the running back can release to the left and create the left point of the triangle. Does that make sense?
Oh, that does make sense.
So now if they blitz to the right, the running back has to come across the quarterback and pick up the blitz. Now that they blitz, they're one less in coverage. So now you have to read a two-point triangle, or the Z receiver has a hitch on the outside. If it's free access, the quarterback has relief. He can just kick it out there. Does that make sense?
Yep, easy access.
All right, now let's get in the red zone. We'll make this the last play call, I think. Let me see if there's anything really good.
Yeah, well, we can save the rest of them for Patreon after you get this red zone call as well.
Yeah, that works. All right, so red zone. Now we're going 8 dice left. I-51 stub cash. All right. So the number. Left. So dice left, right, was, let's see, what is it? 8 dice left. That was our way to switch. Ooh, who'd we switch in dice? I don't remember now. Either way, dice was a 2x2 formation, right? It switched. Oh, it switched to X and Z. That's what it did.
Okay.
Switched to X and Z. So now the Z goes away from the call. The X goes to the call, right? The 8 tells the tailback where to line up. I told you could be an idiot and play tailback, right? So at the number before the formation told the quarterback, this is empty, right? There's no one in the backfield. And the numbers are just even odd right to left, right? 8 told the running back to line up all the way on the outside to the right. 6 would be the number 2 receiver to the right. 4 would be the number 3 receiver to the right. The other side is 9, 7, 5, right?
So just like plug and play for the running
back. Yeah, it's real simple. So same formations, we're just plugging the back in somewhere, right? 8 dice left. I was an India route, which is just like a 6-yard in, telling the tailback what to run. 51, 5-man protection, right? Your hot side is the left. Your slide side is the right. And then stub cash. Stub was a combination route. It's a stutter, India, and a bender. So stub, stutter, bend. Make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Stub was to the left. Cash was to the right. Cash was a corner route by number 3. And then we had a pass play called shallow where number 3 actually ran a wrap, like a 12-yard wrap, and the outside 2 guys ran Indias, the old Colts play. Peyton Manning scored about 800 touchdowns on it, right? So to run shallow with a corner route, we called cash. Corner, shallow, shallow, right? So stub cash. That's our red zone call. 8 dice left, I-51, stub cash.
Stub cash. Got it.
Now, to get even more intense, right? The first play call. So once they learn this offense, right? I just taught you the offense. There you go. What, 20 minutes? You learn the offense.
Well, yeah. A little bit of the offense. I can play running back.
Anybody can play running back. Tell Tony Alford, like, it's the easiest job in America, right? Coaching running backs. We tell you what to do on every play.
I got 3 years of eligibility left. Like, I'm ready.
So now the infamous that I talked about, jet, right? The only thing Ed Warner could do was say jet, right? We always were no huddle, right? We would go as fast as we could calling the play, signaling all of that in. Everything I just said had a signal, you know, learn the signals, and we ran the offense. Well, about 2014, Tom Herman and I actually went to him and I was like, hey, let's try to create something where we go really fast. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well,
like Chip Kelly.
I'm so confident in my ability to teach the offense and my guys' understanding of the offense that a lot of times when you call these plays, like you're saying all this stuff, but they already know the play. Mm-hmm. Like if you said go, they know the play. Like they know what splits, they know what routes, they know where, like they know everything, right? So that first play that I did, stack deuce left, M861 go. If we wanted to go really, really fast, we go Indy, because jet was 3x1, Indy was 2x2. Right. So Indy. They already all know where to go, right? The tight end goes to the boundary.
Yeah.
Z goes to the X and Z actually stay on their sides because we're trying to go fast. They don't switch. So they just get lined up. The H knows in jet or Indy, I go to the field, right? If it's jet, the tight end goes to the field. If it's Indy, the tight end goes to the boundary. That creates 2x2 or 3x1. So Indy, go left. All we did was say go left. So everyone knows they're running go. The left meant the protection was 61 because we said left. Mm-hmm. So now instead of saying stack deuce left, M861 go, we just say Indy, go left. Done. Everyone so gets
that's
lined like, up.
That's when you shorthand the verbiage, that's what they talked about with that Oregon team. All the all the verbiage got shorthanded kind of by those seniors. And then we talk about NFL draft stuff, talk about the verbiage and players' abilities to pick up the verbiage and coaches' ability to teach the verbiage. That was you just going shorthand with your players, and it worked.
Well, and it's simple. Like, I didn't get to this play call, but we had a sprint out pass called rub, right? 494 was the pass pro. 400 meant sprint, like rollout, sprint out. So we could run a rub concept out of sprint out and say jet, rub right, right? Jet, rub right, boom. They get lined up, they run rub. At the same time, we could say comet, rub right. Well, comet was just like jet, but because it was a C word, lined them up in a cluster, right? A three-man cluster. So now comet, they're lined up in a cluster on the right. We run rub right. Same play, not a lot of thinking, totally different world for the defense, right? We said three words, changed one word, completely different play.
Sheesh.
This is old. This is 7 years ago. So the offense even evolved more from there.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be cool just to give
people that's super cool, especially with the draft stuff coming up too, and kind of getting an idea of this is great for all the quarterback, you know, the couch, you know.
Yeah, armchair quarterbacks.
Couch. Yeah. This is perfect for them. Because sheesh, that's a lot. And then obviously you didn't even get into like option routes, like what, you know, your receivers are
processing. Didn't teach
you just gave a couple play calls. Gee whiz, Zach. I'm about to go find these plays in the
one. Devin Smith in the slot. You'll see it. The Hayes Deuce lock H go. Hard run action. Devin Smith blows by the safety, is playing man. The other safety from the field is trying to get to the post to play one high man coverage, but he was disguising it, and Devin's so fast that he never got there. Devin blew by both of them, scored a touchdown. I gave you the play call. There you go.
That's Michigan State 14, right?
2014 Michigan State. Yep. He's in the slot to the boundary, touchdown, Buckeyes.
All right, got it. That's my homework for the day. I'm going to go find that. But hell yeah, Zach, way to get into it.
Well, I appreciate y'all. So just a little house cleaning, housekeeping, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to do one of the main. I can't talk. I'm not going to do the main show this week. Taking this week off the main show, we will do the morning show. We're going to kick back up with bowl coverage next week, and we're going to do two episodes next week, three the following week to recap the big, you know, weekend, New Year's Eve, and you know, playoffs and all that. So a lot of content coming after the holiday, after Christmas, but still going to kick it with the morning show, more laid back, more conversational. So appreciate everyone tuning in, and we will catch you tomorrow. Menace out.
Menace out.